Welcome to the Watermark Church Podcast.
Last week I started doing this because I wanted to, there's some verses that we're going to share every week along the series. Psalms 120, there's going to be two verses. Every time I do a new series, I'm going to put one or two verses that I want us to write down, to highlight, to memorize for that series, because I think it's important to get that nourishment in our system. And Psalms 121 says this: "Lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Isn't that just sweet? And it says, 1 Thessalonians says, "Therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, just as a fact that you are doing." Just like you're doing, keep on building up. The word influence in the dictionary means the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of somebody or something. And this is a reason why this ladder represents our faith journey. It represents from us being on ground to building this up. Last week, I talked about how this ladder represents going from who we are to what could be, not just being where we're at. And I said, in order for us to have to go up a ladder, we need to have a good foundation. It needs to be level ground. It needs to be solid. We need to have a good foundation. My friend Pete Drake, I'm not sure where you're at, but him and I had a great conversation after church last week, and he brought up a good point. He says, ladders and stairs are meant for you to get to somewhere. They're not meant for you to live somewhere. Like, you don't want to, like I was saying last week, you don't want to go up a ladder. You're not called to stay right here. You build a staircase to get to a room, not to stay on the staircase. Like, we are going someplace. It's interesting because some of us live in fear where we don't want to take a next step, and we just hold on and say, well, I climbed a little bit. I risked a little bit. But I'm saying God even has more. God has us to go, and that's where we got to step up. There's neutral is not a gear. You're not going anywhere. You got to be somewhere. You got to be in a gear to go someplace. And so it's not neutral. But every step is a testimony of what God has done. Psalm 37, 23 says, "The Lord makes firm steps of the one who delights in him. Your steps are ordered by the Lord," another verse says. So don't skip a step. So let's pray this morning that God just reveals to us, number one, what steps we need to take. Lord, I thank you for, Lord, this morning. I thank you for this time. And Lord, there is many people in this room who are called to take, number one, a next step with you. Spiritually, they're called to surrender. And I just pray, Lord, that help us to, in our faith journey, to step up to the higher ground. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that there is people here who need to make some decisions about friendships, about relationships, about people they're connected with. And I just pray, help us to find people in our life, Lord, who can iron sharpens iron. We can build this up, Lord. We just thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Grab a seat this morning. If you're taking notes, the question I have this morning is this. Last week was about the ladder and the ladder going ascending and descending. And today, here's my question today, is this: who is holding your ladder? Who is holding your ladder? This is a huge conversation when you start thinking about it. Well, who is your ladder? Which means, who is influencing you? And it's important to have ladders. My dad's not here today, which is sad. But I can tell you, this one of the most scary situations ever in my life. When I was a sophomore in college, I would talk to my mom and dad like every other day on the phone. And my dad at that time worked at a church in Wilmer. And I called him about 8:30 in the morning. And I said, hey, what are you doing? And he was huffing and puffing. And I said, what are you doing? He goes, oh, just climbing down from some scaffolding in the gym area. And my first thought was, you're answering your phone? Of course, you know my dad. This makes sense. He's like, oh, I'm just climbing down. And all of a sudden, I'm on the phone with him. And as soon as he said that, I hear, oh, oh, oh. And I'm like, what? And I hear thud. And then I just hear heavy breathing. And I'm going, I'm like yelling. I'm in the car. I'm like, dad, dad, dad. And I just hear him breathing. That's all I hear. And so I call mom up right away. And at first I thought, it's a little funny. And then while I started hearing his breathing, I'm like, oh, this is not funny at all. I called my mom, who was working upstairs. She rushed downstairs, and she found dad, and she called me later. They don't know how high he was up. That ceiling goes about 2.5 stories, and he was climbing down, and he fell. Nothing was broken, but he extended both of his wrists when he caught himself, hit his head. He doesn't remember a thing. Doesn't remember a thing. And I'm like, why did you answer your phone? I'm like, why did you do that? I don't ever remember, like, it was like 2 years later, he was at a job site, and he was up on a ladder, and the ladder fell, and he was, like, holding on to the top thing. Like, I'm like, you gotta have people by you holding your ladder. I feel like I'm always telling him, be safe. I mean, be safe. But it's interesting, because if we don't have the right person holding our ladder, the person influencing us, there's situations. So ladder holders influence the height of the ladder climbers. Ladder holders will help influence. And I'm not talking about, you know, there's inside ladders and then there's outside ladders. If you're going to go up a 6-foot ladder and change a light bulb, you might not need a ladder holder. But if you're going to go outside and change a street light or light out here or second floor or do some gutter work, you're going to need a ladder holder, because the ladder holder helps determine the height of the climber. It's a lot easier to go up. Now, I understand that there's some crazy people. Donnie came and worked at my house last summer, 2 summers ago, and was doing electrical work. He was doing crazy stuff I would never even do up on a ladder. I'm like, I can't believe you're doing that. There's certain people that can just do it. They're just superhero. I can't do that kind of stuff. And so it's interesting, because we need ladder, but the ladder holders help us get to another level. We need to go to the next level. In the Bible, there's examples all over Scripture of one person who held the ladder for somebody else, who mentored somebody else to bring them to the next level. Even Jesus had his disciples to bring them to the next level. It's irony, even Judas, who betrayed him, helped Jesus go to a different level. And I'm not saying spiritually, but I mean, betraying him brought a new level in of what's going to happen. So it's interesting, but even in Scripture, you have this where Moses held the ladder so Joshua can take the Israelites into the promised land. You have Elijah, who gave a double portion to Elijah. And then you have like Paul, who mentored Timothy and others, who brought the church into what it is. And so you always have people who are holding ladders for somebody else. It's almost like if you're lifting weights and you have spotters, you can lift more when you have a spotter, because someone is helping you lift up the weight. And so it's interesting, because you have people who are encouraging you and yelling at you and getting your face to help you go to that next level. So the question is, who are you allowing to influence and to be your spotter, but to be your ladder holder? Now, this is a huge question. Because the question is, who is sowing into you? Who do you listen to? Who is the person that you can trust that's going to bring you to this point? Genesis 49:22 is talking about Joseph, and it says, Joseph is a fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over the wall. Now, it's not saying Joseph has vines and he's climbing over the wall. It says that he is climbing, he is fruitful, and he's outgrowing. Now, check this out. He is outgrowing his surroundings. He's outgrowing. He's climbing over the wall. He's getting too big for his surroundings. We, at times, outgrow our surroundings. Our sphere of influence begins to change. The way we think changes. How we speak changes. You look back and you begin to notice, I'm not, hopefully, who I used to be. And so even your ladder holders are changing. Now, I'm just going to say this. When we started the church, our board was awesome. We love our board. Before we planned our church, our board members told us this, that most of the people that help you in the first 6 months planning a church won't be there after that. They're just there for a season. And we thought, we knew our team. We're like, our team is awesome. Now, listen, our staff all stayed, but we had other people helping us. And they said, our staff is awesome. Our team is going to be there. It is so true. We started in March, May hit, and I'm gonna be honest with you, pretty much by 6 months, about 3/4 of our team was totally different. And I'm not mad at them. You know why? Because it's just like a construction site. When you're building, there's scaffolding, and when the project's over, the scaffolding comes out and goes to the next construction site. There is people who are just there to help you get started, who are your ladder holders for a season. They might not be ladder holders forever, but they help you. In every season of Watermark Church, we've had new and fresh ladder holders to get us to the next level. Next week, I'm going to talk about whose ladder are you holding. We're going to talk about being involved. I'm telling you, before a year ago, we had about an average of like 30 kids in kids' church. Right now, we have 50 to 60 kids in kids' church. We always need more ladder holders. We always need different seasons and different things going on. And so it says, so what's going on? So we need stronger and better people. So here is my soapbox. You guys ready? The people that you have used for ladder holders, if they are not growing with you, may need to change. Now, I'm not saying you get rid of your friends and saying, I'm no longer going to hang out with you. I'm not going to do this. I'm talking about the people who influence your life. It is your decision. Let me say this. That is your decision who you allow to influence your life. You can't blame somebody else. For instance, if you're 40 years old right now, or 50 years old, and high school was like 20, 25 years ago, you probably don't connect with the people in high school still. If you do, you're not going to go back there and ask for the same advice that you wanted 25 years ago. Is this correct? Because your maturity has changed, you're not going to go ask for, you know, I'm not saying nobody can give you advice. What I'm saying is, so many times that we allow people to influence our decisions that have no right to influence your decisions. So here's my question. Who in your life do you go to, do you ask advice from, do you listen to, that you allow to speak into your life, who really care about you, who want to bring you to the next level, who have the same mentality as you, who know you want where you want to show up, who know where you want to take you, and are you listening to those people? Can I just be honest? Here's what I find in counseling all the time. I always ask people, when I make a dumb decision, I'm always asking people, so who helped you with that decision? Well, I just talked to this person. And they thought it was a good idea. I said, well, do you trust that person? Yeah, I trust that person. Do you like their decisions? Not all of them. Do you agree with the decisions they make? Not really. Then why are you asking them for questions? Is this true? Now, listen, I want to put a side note here and say, sometimes there's truth in what a lot of people say, even though you don't know them very well. Some people can speak into your life, and God at times uses people to speak life into you, even though they're not your ladder holders. They're just people who may not have the same things as you. But what I'm talking about are people around you that you allow to hold your ladder so you can go. For instance, for me, I had someone just last night I was texting, a guy named Scott Wilson down in Texas, who I believe is one of our ladder holders. He has a big church in Texas, and I can just text him or call him or do whatever, and I love the guy, because one day he's like encouraging me, telling me, like, God, I can do anything, and the next morning he's like, dude, that's not very smart. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so you have these people because I went out of my way to choose my ladder holders in my life to bring me to a spiritually different level to encourage me. Are you guys hearing this? This is your decision to make of who's going to influence your life. And some people say, well, I have some pillars in my life, and they're on TV, they're pastors I listen to, and they're my ladder holders. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is people that you can talk to every single day or during a week that you can share with, that they are going to encourage you, that they, when they have a correction or something to share, that this can happen. It's interesting because they need to know where you're at. But let me repeat this. There are times where you outgrow the people that you are around. I want to say this by saying, it doesn't mean that you're better. It doesn't mean that they're lower. It just means it's the connection, you're outgrowing the space. And maybe because they're growing and you're growing, you have too many things growing, there's not enough nourishment. It's interesting because when we look for the wrong influence, when we have the wrong influence, we will end up going in the wrong direction. So you got to surround yourself with the right people. I heard it said in a leadership book from John Maxwell, he said this, "You are the sum total of the five people that you spend the most time with." I really feel bad for my wife if that's true. I'm going to go back to this. If you can go to that first picture, Danielle, that we skipped over, the very first picture, I'm going to show you some ladder holders that are not good. Pretty awesome. You've ever done this before? Here's what I love. You look at that teamwork. No, I can do it. No, I'll do it. And no one's holding a ladder. Go to the next one. Look at this guy. Can you just imagine this conversation? Hey, there's no wall. You can lean against me. Go to the next one. Dude, this guy. I mean, you really gotta trust this guy. There has to be total trust on this. You go to the next one. I don't know, this is just funny to me. Donnie, have you ever done this before? Donnie, you've done. Maybe Jerry has, I don't know. Well, I have scaffolding. We can use each other. That's ladder holding right there. Go to the next one. This is my all-time favorite. By far. This is a conversation I replay in my head. Hey, Frank, can you hold me? I got your back. I got your butt. And you just have this like big piece of wood supporting. Can you imagine? It's interesting. You can put those down. We're going to jump into this, and I say you got to be careful who's holding your ladder. You really do. I'm not saying you got to be careful who your friends are. I'm saying you got to be careful who your closest friends are. There's a big difference. A lot of people come to me and say, well, we don't have a lot in common. I have a lot of friends. I don't have a lot of super, super close friends. Is that making sense? But it's good to have friends. It's good to be connected. So the question I have this morning, a couple of things is this. What kind of person is holding your ladder? What qualities of a ladder holder do you have? Here's what I think is important to me, and I hope it's important to you. Number one, I want somebody who is going to hold my ladder to be passionate for Jesus. Because if I'm climbing here and I'm stepping up to the Lord, and they go, where are you going all the time? Listen, I surround myself with people who don't have passion for the Lord, but I want the people who are supporting me to have strong passion for the Lord. You guys hearing me on this? I want my ladder holders to encourage me and even convict me of my passion. If I start getting dry in my own faith, I want them to make me step up and say, it's time to step up. I want their passion for the Lord to be so contagious it inspires mine. Because can I just tell you this? We all have flames in our hearts when you give your heart to the Lord. And there are some people coming who are like gasoline and get your fire just going more. We need to be people. Can I just tell you, the church, you're going to be either people of water or people of gasoline. You're either going to be a person who ignites more fires. Now, I'm not talking about fights. I'm just saying, ignites a passion, or you're going to be a person who tries to put out saying, ooh, it's too much, be careful. And I want people in my life who have passion for Jesus, who is contagious, and they just want more of the Lord in their life. Amen? Next one is this, people of character. Dude, if you're shady with your family and your finances and your life, dude, how are you going to hold someone's ladder if there's distrust? If there's things going on, if there's things under the surface, if we're not seeing the whole picture. Because what character is this, is you are the same person in the dark that you are in the light. Is that who you are at work is who you are at church. One of my goals, you can ask my wife, one of my goals is I want to be the same person here on Sunday morning as I am at home on a Tuesday. I'm not preaching to my family. I'm just saying I want to be the same person. I don't want my kids to see, there's pastor dad and then there's home dad. Brr. You know what I'm saying? I want to be that. Next one is this, attentive. Dude, you need to be attentive. You don't want to keep on reminding your ladder holders, hey, I'm here. Be aware. Faithful. I'm telling you, are you a faithful person? Are you faithful with what God has given you? Are you faithful with what you have? Are you faithful? Are you loyal? Are you loyal? You know what I'm saying? You're faithful and you're loyal. And I'm just telling you, it's important because as you climb this ladder, you need to find people who are strong enough, because if your foundation and if the people holding your ladder is not strong, I'm telling you, as you get higher, it's going to be a lot harder to hold on to it. So I have a friend coming with me. Ben, can you come up here? Of course, I chose the biggest guy in church to hold my ladder, right? So Ben's going to hold my ladder here. And so as I begin to climb, he's going to hold my ladder. But here's what begins to happen. As he's holding my ladder, I can be up here stretching. I can be up here painting. And all of a sudden, I look down, and I go, Ben. Look at him. Yeah, see? Look at this. The biggest guy in church holding my ladder, but he's not even paying attention to what's going on. Because here's what begins to happen. I'm telling you, I can have the strongest ladder, the best foundation, but if the people who are supporting me are not paying attention and not being aware who I am, we still can't go higher. I'd rather have someone a little weaker who is aware and pays attention than someone who is the strongest guy. No, I want him to hold my ladder, number one. But I'm just saying, here's what begins to happen. We literally, we forget about paying attention to our surroundings. We forget about paying attention to the people. We forget about paying attention to what God is doing in somebody else. When was the last time you asked somebody, how's everything going in your spiritual life? Anything I can pray for? What's going on? When was the last time you cared enough to ask a question? A good ladder holder not only is not on his phone, but he's looking up and he's attentive of where I'm going. Is that making sense? Thanks, Ben. That was awesome. Big Ben. Big Ben, that's a good name, huh? Big Ben. I asked him last week, and I said, you're the biggest guy in church. You got to hold my ladder. And I said, you should just carry me around. On a ladder. Think about this. So the question is, who's holding your ladder? Are you trustworthy? Reliable? Loyal? Are they not distracted all the time? You know what I realized being married? This took me, how many years have we been married? 14. Almost 14. Guys, I was going to say 13, so I was right on. I will say this. It took me many years to realize my wife doesn't want to be solved. She wants to be known. Because as a husband and as a guy, we just want to solve every problem. What's going on? Oh, this is out of whack. Oh, I'll fix it. I had a situation with my friend. What should we do? Let's fix it. I'm like a mechanic. I want to fix my wife. And my wife doesn't want to be fixed. She wants just me to be there. And some of you who are married or being with somebody, you're out wondering, am I a good ladder holder for my spouse? Am I just trying to fix them? Or am I trying to be with them? Are you helping your spouse go to the next level? Your friends, think about your friends, the friends at church, they're different things. This is what I find very important. Let me share this. We're going to switch gears here. I'm just going to share a scripture verse, and then we're going to switch gears for a second. Are you helping, and are you part of a relationship that's moving people to another level? There's a story in scripture I want to share, and before we get in there, I just want to share this. Life groups, Bible studies, my wife's girls' Bible study, life groups are going to start. These are great ways to get connected. But I just want you to know how important it is to have a good ladder holder and have a good community. Here it is. This is an illustration about geese. You can put that picture up there. When you see geese heading south for the winter, flying along in a V formation, you might be interested in knowing the science was discovered by the way they fly that way. Research has revealed that each bird flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the bird immediately behind it. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock adds at least 71% greater flying range than if each bird flew on its own. Whenever a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance of trying to do it alone. It quickly gets back into formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the bird immediately in front. When the lead goose gets tired, he rotates back into the V formation and allows another goose to speed up and fill in the gap. The geese honk from behind to listen to encourage those up front to keep up their speed. And finally, this is my favorite, when a goose gets sick or is wounded by gunfire and falls out, two other geese will fall out of formation and follow it down to help protect it. They stay with the goose until it is either able to fly again or dead, and then they relaunch out and find their own or jump into another V formation. These are just stories of influence. I made a list today of just people in this room who influence other people. Kurt and Terry got invited by the booze. And since they've been invited by the booze, look at this, all has happened in 2 years since they've been here. Sydney, who's not here today because she has puffy cheeks. She's recovering. She started coming. Parents are here today. She started coming because Megan invited her to come. Zacchaeus, I want you to listen to the story. Luke 19, 1 through 5 says this. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Can I just tell you this? Please underline your scripture, passing through. It wasn't really a plan. It was just like, we're just going through. It's like, I'm going to Walmart. Here we go. Just passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, yes, short. That means short, not, he was tiny, okay? Short guy. He could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. Since Jesus was coming that way, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Can you put that picture up, the next picture? This is awesome. I found this picture online. It's not real life, guys. But it's a cool picture. They didn't have cameras back then. But this is a cool picture, I believe, of Zacchaeus, who wasn't really following the Lord, making decisions. And yet, he ran ahead, climbed a tree, just to find out who this Jesus guy is. Here he is, he's climbing a tree saying, I've been hearing stories, I've been hearing miracle stories, I've been doing this thing, and now I need to see who this Jesus is. And then you get Jesus just passing through, going to someplace else, he sees Zacchaeus in a tree, and it says immediately, right now, he looked up, and he said, Zacchaeus, come down, I'm going to come eat with you at your house. As it goes on in scripture, everybody else is like, he's going to the tax collector's house. He's going to that evil guy's house. Can I just tell you what? Number one in the story is pretty awesome. It says Jesus was passing through. That means this was kind of an interruption. Unplanned. He was interrupted by this guy's passion. And he said, we're going to park right here, and I'm going to hang out with this guy. He says, Zacchaeus, come on down. Let's go hang out. Can I just tell you how awesome it is that we serve a Lord that will that will take us out of a tree and invite himself to our house. He says, I'm coming over. Let's hang out. We serve a God who says, listen, we're going to go to the tax collector's house, the one everybody hates, the one who doesn't do anything really good. We're going to go to his house and eat. Everybody's like, why that guy? He says, because he's going higher, and he has a passion. He was reaching out, and he wanted more. He has something that none of you guys have. You guys were just going in the crowd. He's getting out of the crowd because he wants to see more. I'm going. He was climbing to see Jesus. He says, listen, I'm going to go higher. A desire to go higher. I want to see Jesus. It says, when you look up, Jesus begins to look at you in a different way. He calls out Zacchaeus from a distance to a meal with Jesus. Listen, he calls him out, and they were once at a distance, and they're now sharing meals. With one decision to go higher, Jesus spends a day with them. Who's holding your ladder? Number one, do you have a passion like Zacchaeus to go higher? Do you have a passion to say, I want to see Jesus in a different way? Number two is, who's holding your ladder? I love sharing stories about our church. I'm going to share a story today, Dom and Kayla. So here we go. Guys, wave your hands so everybody knows who you guys are. When did you guys start coming? What? February they started coming. So here's a cool story. And I asked Dom, I said, can you send me a text? I'm going to read in a second. But I'm just going to give you a preface to this, is that Dom and Josh and Sarah and Caleb have been friends for, well, you guys have been friends for, since you guys were a long time ago, best friends, Josh and Dom. And Josh and Sarah invited Dom and Caleb to church, and they came. And you guys weren't going to church really before, right? No, not going to church at all. And they started coming to Watermark Church, and they come faithfully. And it's interesting. Last spring, I was sharing a message about we need to surrender our hearts to the Lord. It was very specific that we need to lay certain things down, not just evil things, but we need to lay certain, God is asking us to surrender things to the Lord. We've got to lay this stuff down. After service, Dom came up to me and talked to me. He told me this, what he laid down. And so I asked him, I said, can you share this today? And so he texted me, and this is what I want you to read, see this. This is what Dom wrote. He says, so I've been playing baseball in this league for 5 years, and every winter it's all I think about, getting back out there with my team, and we only play on Sunday mornings. This is a hard league for you to get into, right? This is like, really. This year, I didn't feel the passion and excitement because my wife and I joined Watermark in February this year. And I knew baseball wasn't as important as my relationship with God. I was extremely nervous to tell my team. I didn't want to let anyone down. And even though I wasn't as excited to play this year, I still wanted to. So I went to the first game. And I was praying for peace and strength. And the whole ride there, I was antsy and nervous, but I kept praying for strength and peace. And once I told him, I felt the weight off my shoulders. This is, you can ask my wife, I talk about this a lot. Because to me, this is, it may not be like, I'm giving this crazy addiction. It's given, he's literally saying, this is something I really love. I enjoy doing. It's hard to get into. I had to work really hard to get at this point. And that Sunday morning, he literally left his own seat by himself, went down to the cross, and said, God, I feel like I need to give my baseball to you. Exodus 19:3 says this, Moses went up to God. Psalms 24:3 says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in the idol or swear to a false god, they will receive the blessing of the Lord. how is Dom able to give up baseball? Because he has ladder holders around him. Because he has people in his life saying, I'm behind you. And every time you step up and you're saying, this is really hard, I got to get rid of this, I got to do this. Listen, it may not seem hard to everybody else, but it's hard to you. There are certain things, I'm telling you, in my life that God has asked me to give up on and surrender, that if I told you today, you'd be like, really? That was hard for you? It's hard for me. It may not be hard for you. It may not have ever been a problem for you, but it was a problem for me to surrender it. But I'm telling you, if we figure out ways to hold each other's ladders so people can go to the next level, this is what we're called to do. So here's my challenge. Who's holding your ladder? Everybody stand up this morning. It's amazing for me to think about as I look in this room, the people who are here. Not that we know all your stories. I just know that our stories begin to blend together, and which is interesting because I think about that goose formation and how one goose will fall out of formation and the other geese come down and take care of that one goose. That's why we love things like life groups, because one of our people go down, we all surround them. This is why Bible studies are important, because we all go in a single formation and we're going this way. This is why connecting, and I'm telling you, I'm sure it's hard for girls, but it's especially hard for guys. We hear the words like, be honest and be transparent. We're like, oh, are you for real? Share your feelings. I hate this. That's my feelings. I don't like sharing. Listen, I'm not saying you got to come up here and share your feelings. I'm saying with a few people, who do you surround yourself with? Who are the four people holding each leg? Who are the people in your life who are saying, let's go to the next level? I'm here to encourage you. Let's step up. They're the people that when you start getting bored in your faith and you start moving, there are people saying, hey, how are you doing? Let's keep moving. Let's go. Wagons going. But there are also the people that say, hey, doing too much. Let's just pull back and rest a little bit. There are the people saying, hey, I don't know if you should be doing that. You prayed about that? You asked the Lord about that? I won't ever forget the time. Can I share this, Mike Hoffman? He said yes. So there you go. When Mike was in life groups and he told me that he prayed with the life group. That happened in life group. That he said, I prayed out loud for our group. I'm like, just that word, the encouragement that came out of that. I think about these things in our lives of stepping out, of stepping out, of stepping out. Your ladder holders will either let you stay stabilized or climb higher. Next week, I'm going to talk about whose ladder are you holding. But this week is all about, who's holding my ladder? Who's influencing me?